In the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, we read the account of how on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the sepulchre and found the stone rolled away, and how she ran and went to Simon Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, who we take to be John himself, and how they come and follow her to the sepulchre, and how Peter went in and found that Christ was not there. He found the linen clothes lying and the napkin wrapped together, and how they discovered that Christ was risen from the dead. And then Mary at the tomb, weeping, meets with the two angels who say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And then she turns, and there is Jesus, who says unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." And she turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. What a remarkable event. But then from verse 19 we read that then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So we read of how the risen Christ, Jesus, appeared unto his disciples said unto them, Peace be unto you. And showed them the wounds in his hands and his feet, and the wound in his side. And they saw the risen Lord and believed. And we read of how Thomas, not present, doubts and says he must see for himself. And again, Jesus appears unto the disciples, including Thomas. And Thomas, seeing the wounds, seeing his Lord, cries out, My Lord and my God. Thomas needed to see. Thomas had been with Christ a long time. He had seen many things. But to believe that Christ indeed was risen from the dead took some faith. And only God could make him see. When the other disciples had come to the tomb, despite them, like Thomas, also having been with Christ and seen many things and heard much from him, despite the fact that Christ had plainly said elsewhere that he must die and rise again, they did not understand. They did not understand. It says in verse 9, For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They'd been told. And yet they did not understand. And Thomas had been told. And yet when he heard the report that Christ is risen, so amazing was it. So unbelievable was it. That he says, unless, except, I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And then Christ appears unto him. Now it's easy to read this account and read how Christ appeared unto the disciples and how Thomas, who wasn't present, echoes these words of doubt that I must see for myself. It's easy to read that and, as it were, disparage Thomas. But really, Thomas is presented to us as a picture of us all. The other disciples who saw Christ the first time could have had exactly the same attitude as Thomas. But Thomas is singled out, he's separated so that he didn't see Christ the first time that Christ appeared in the room to the other disciples. He was set back to teach us something, to show us our natural unbelief. The other disciples, Simon, Peter and John, who came to the tomb and found it empty, even though they knew that Christ had died, and even though they had heard Christ say that he must die and he must rise again, didn't understand. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They didn't understand it. They didn't believe it. It was only when they found that he had risen, and only when they saw the risen Lord when he appeared unto them, that they truly understood and believed. And here likewise, Thomas says, Except I see it, I will not believe. And you and I are just like him. By nature, we do not believe. We can hear the gospel preached 1,000 times. We can read the gospels in the scriptures. We can read the scriptures from cover to cover thousands of times and know it all. And ultimately our heart says, unless I see him, unless the Lord appear unto me, unless I see the wounds in his hands and his feet and the wound in his side, I will not believe. That is your heart's response to the gospel. That's my natural heart's response to the gospel. We're all the same as Thomas. We cannot believe it, no matter how much we've been told, no matter how much we've seen, no matter how much we've heard. Our natural heart is unbelieving. We are dead by nature, dead in trespasses and sins, blind to the truth, deaf to the truth, without understanding, rebellious. We will not believe. And yet Jesus appears unto Thomas. And Jesus, when he appears unto him, says unto him, "Behold, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." There came a day when Jesus, the risen Jesus, having died for Thomas's sins, having borne Thomas's sins away, having suffered under the wrath of God and the judgment of God against Thomas's sins, having shed his blood for Thomas, he appears unto Thomas, and he says unto him, "Behold, look upon me. Look upon me by faith, Thomas, and be not faithless, but believe it." He appears, and when he appears, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, comes upon Thomas. "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," Jesus says unto the other disciples earlier. And at this point, when he appears unto Thomas, Thomas receives the Holy Ghost, and in receiving the Holy Ghost, faith enters into his heart and he looks and believes. He'd heard with the outward ear before that day. He'd seen with the outward eye before that day. He'd lived with the physical Jesus. He'd lived with the man Jesus. He'd heard him. He knew him. And yet he didn't believe until God in the Spirit came unto him and quickened him unto life and gave him the faith to believe. And that moment when Jesus appeared unto him and God the Spirit entered into him and gave him faith, Thomas cries out, "My Lord and my God." And the day that God comes unto you and comes unto you in the gospel by power and comes in the Holy Ghost and enters into your heart, into your dead soul, and causes you to live, you will see. And Jesus will appear unto you and say, "Behold, behold my hands and my side," and you will see, and you will no longer be faithless, but believing. And your response will be, "My Lord and my God." Until then, you and I are blind, dead, lifeless. But when Jesus appears and calls unto you and says, "Behold," then you believe. And John, at the end of this account, at the end of this chapter, says of these events, says of these signs which have preceded in his gospel, says of the seven signs that he has recorded in his gospel, from the first chapter to this, he says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these signs that I've recorded, these events that I've recorded, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." This gospel exists. It's recorded and preserved for us to read and hear today in order that through these signs we might believe. But God must take them And God must preach them unto us in his gospel, and God must through them cause us to see, because otherwise they're just words, just like they were to Thomas, until Christ appeared unto him and said, behold. Jesus responds to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. If you're brought to believe on Christ, if he comes to you in power in the gospel and says unto you, behold, behold my hands and my side, and believe. Be not faithless, but believing. If you're brought to believe without ever seeing the physical Christ on earth, but you're brought to believe through the signs that John records in his gospel, through the preaching of the gospel, and because Christ by his Spirit comes in that preaching, comes through that gospel, comes through those signs, and causes your eyes to be opened that you have faith to see. If you're caused to believe, then blessed are you indeed. Because you don't have the advantage that Thomas and the disciples did of having walked with Jesus upon this earth. But you are exactly the same as them, in the sense that despite their advantage, they couldn't believe until Jesus by his Spirit appeared unto them. And if he appears unto you, then you will believe with the same faith that Thomas had. Has he appeared unto you? Or are you yet in the darkness, yet blind to the truth, yet dead to the truth, unbelieving, saying in your heart of Jesus Christ, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Is that the echo of your heart each and every day? Every day you go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning, and God preserves your life, and God preserves the beating of your heart, and he brings you up in the morning, and he raises the sun in the sky as a pointer under his sun. And every day he says through creation and the world around you, my son is risen from the dead, and the light shines forth. And every day you shut your eyes to it. And every day you get out of bed and you go off about your business, about your studies, about your labour, about your entertainment, consumed with what you will do, consumed with what you are, consumed with self, and you shut your ears to the truth, your eyes to what God will show you, your mind to all true understanding. Every day, every morning, every time the sun rises, your heart responds and says, except I shall see in Jesus' hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You may do that consciously. You may do that unconsciously. The sun may rise in the east, and the light shines forth, and God through it says unto the world, my son is risen. And you may not even think about it, but that message enters the world. It comes unto you, and your ears are shut, and your eyes are closed, and your heart says, I will not believe. And you will not believe until Jesus comes where you are. Even though the doors may be shut, and stands in the midst and says, peace be unto you. You see, this room where the disciples were with shut doors is a picture of you and your heart. There you dwell with the hard walls of your heart all around, blocking out the truth. There you dwell with the door to your heart firmly shut, and you will not listen, and you will not look, and you will not seek. You don't seek Jesus Christ, you don't care for Christ, the door is shut. Nothing enters in. And yet a shut door was no obstacle to the risen Christ to appear unto Thomas. And the shut door of your heart and the hardness of your unbelief is no obstacle to the risen Christ and the power of his gospel for him to enter in. If you're his, one day, even though the door of your heart is firmly shut, he will appear within, and he will stand in the midst, and he will say unto you, peace be unto you. Even though your heart raged against him, though your heart may be at war, at enmity with God, though your ears may be shut and your eyes closed, he will appear in the midst, door shut, and say, peace be unto. What a remarkable power there is in the gospel. And what a remarkable thing to happen to Thomas. How blessed he was in the end. Yes, he had to see, but he had the blessing of Christ coming unto him, door shut, standing in the midst, and saying, peace be unto you. He saw him, he believed, and he cried out, my Lord and my God. But this isn't the first time we encounter Thomas, called Didymus, in the scriptures. You see, this account in John 20 is made all the more powerful based upon the fact that we have encountered Thomas several times earlier in John's Gospel, as well as one or two references where his name is listed amongst the names of the other disciples. There are two main places where he is mentioned previously. We first encounter him specifically in John chapter 11. At the death of Lazarus and the resurrection of Lazarus. And then we encounter him again when he speaks unto Jesus in John 14 and asks Jesus, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus makes known unto his disciples in that chapter how he is the way, the truth, and the life. How no man can come to the Father but by him. He shows unto his disciples the unity of his people with him and with the Father, the oneness of God's people with Christ and the Father, and how there is no way unto God and no salvation except you are one with Christ, except you go where Christ goes. And the way that Christ went was a way that led him to the grave, to the cross, a place of execution. From thence to the grave, and from thence rising and ascending to the Father. This was shown unto Thomas in chapter 14. Thomas was told something of the truth and shown something of the truth, which he as yet doubted, even when Christ was risen from the dead. He was shown powerful things. He saw how Lazarus, Jesus' friend, had died. he saw how Lazarus rose again from the dead. He was shown that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then when Christ died, like Lazarus, and when Christ was buried, like Lazarus, and when Christ came forth from the tomb, like Lazarus, even then, Thomas says, except I see him, I will not believe. How dead are our hearts by nature? How blind we are. How deaf we are. No matter what you or I may be shown, no matter what we may see, no matter how many witnesses there are to the truth, except God speaks and says unto our soul, live, we remain dead. But Thomas is brought to us in these three main places, chapter 11, chapter 14 and chapter 20. There's a threefold sequence leading to his salvation. And first of all, in chapter 11, we read of him at the death of Lazarus. Firstly, what is impressed upon Thomas and impressed upon us through the account regarding him in chapter 11 is the fact that the way that Jesus goes, the way unto the Father, the way unto everlasting life, is a way of death. A way of death. In chapter 11, we read of Lazarus, dead in the grave. We read from verse 11 how Jesus says, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. What a thing for Thomas to say. They're told plainly that Lazarus is dead. And Jesus says, let us go unto him. And Thomas says unto the fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Thomas's love for Christ and love for their friend Lazarus was such that he was willing to die. If Lazarus dies, he was willing to die. He would go with Christ wherever Christ went. And if the Jews were to take Christ and slaughter him, as was clear from their reaction to him at various points, then Thomas was willing to die with him. His love for Christ was so great, he was willing to go wherever. And if the other disciples, or if Christ met with their death at the hands of their enemies, Thomas was willing to go that way. So though we read in chapter 20 of Thomas's unbelief, as it were, nevertheless we read here great devotion unto his master. He's willing to die. And they come to to Lazarus' grave. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, that were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now what a remarkable account this is of the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. And how much there is here which is similar to Jesus' own death and resurrection. Lazarus was laid in a grave, a cave with a stone rolled over it. When he came forth, he was bound in grave clothes with a napkin about his face. And Mary comes to the grave. Mary weeps over the death of her brother. And Jesus cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And he arose. And Thomas was there. Thomas and the disciples were there. Thomas has said, Let us go also that we may die with him. They saw. that Lazarus was dead. And they saw that Jesus rose him from the dead. Loose him and let him go, Jesus says. Lazarus, come forth. Loose him and let him go. They saw this miracle right before their eyes. Oh, will you see the significance of this? How Thomas is mentioned specifically in this account. Thomas that we read of in chapter 20, the first real mention of Thomas called Didymus that we read of is this mention at the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. He saw what happened. He said, let us go also that we may die with him. He saw how Lazarus came forth from the tomb. The fact of death, burial, and resurrection was right before him. He could not have seen it in a more miraculous way. And yet when Jesus rose, his natural heart still said, unless I see him, I will not believe. He'd seen a man raised from the dead. He'd seen the miraculous power of God before. And yet, still, when Jesus rose, he could not believe until God, by his Spirit, gave him that faith to see the risen Lord. But in this account, in this miracle of Lazarus, Thomas is shown the way unto life. He's shown that we must die, be buried in the grave, that we may live. He's shown the consequence of sin, that as sinners, we die. And as sinners, we must die. As sinners, the old man, the corruptible old man of Adam that we are, sinners by nature, we must die. Sin must be judged. Sin must be put in a grave before we can come forth in newness of life and follow Jesus unto the Father. We must die. Having seen all this, later in John, Jesus says something unto his disciples in chapter 13 regarding the need for the Son of God, the Son of Man, to die. Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus spake of his betrayal in chapter 13. He conveys to the disciples that he will be taken. He will be betrayed. They have been told that he must die. And Simon Peter conveys the same sentiment, as it were, that Thomas did in chapter 11. Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. We will follow you wherever you go. We're willing to die for you. But Jesus says, wilt thou? Will you, Peter? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. You say this. You want to be with me. But in your natural state, you have neither the strength nor ability to go where I go. And naturally speaking, when it comes to it, you doubt and you disbelieve. But he says, don't be troubled. I'm going to my Father. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you're going to join me there. You don't know where I'm going now, but you know. You will know. You will follow. I'm going the way of death. My pathway will take me to the cross, to crucifixion, to death. I'm going to the grave. And I'm going through it, taking your sins, bearing your sins, and bearing the condemnation and judgment and wrath of God against them, that I may purify you, that I may save you, that I may bring you unto my Father. Thomas says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How do we go this way? I am the way, Jesus says. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in this chapter, Christ goes on to show his disciples his oneness with the Father and their oneness with him. The unity between he and his Father and his people and him. And if you're to get to heaven, if you or I are to be saved, if Thomas was to be saved or Peter was to be saved, it was through being one with Christ and going the way that Christ went. There's only one way unto the Father, through Christ. What is the way? Thomas asks. I am the way, Christ says. I am the truth. And I am the life. And to come to the Father, you'll come through me. And to come through me, you'll go where I go. And I go to die, to be laid in the grave, and to rise again. And if you're to come to the Father this way, then you will die in me. And you will be laid in the grave in me. And you will rise again and live in me. How the truth of the gospel is presented to Thomas here. It is the truth which leads him by the way of death in Christ unto eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the way. In verse 29 of this chapter, Jesus goes on to say, now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. I've told you before it comes to pass, before I die, before I'm laid in the grave, before I rise again, I'm telling you about it, that when it comes to pass, ye might believe. And yet, despite being told and despite being shown and despite seeing it in picture, in Lazarus's death and Lazarus in the grave and Lazarus rising again, despite it all being shown unto them, they still couldn't believe except God in the gospel opened their eyes. And yet he shows them, this is the way. This is the way, walk ye in it. Turn not to the left hand or the right. This is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Follow me. And the disciples followed him. And they followed him unto the end. They were with him at that day when he was betrayed. They saw him taken away. They saw the mock trial. They saw the people cry out, crucify him, crucify him. They were powerless to stop it, and all they could do is watch. And they took their Saviour and they nailed him to a tree and they pierced his hands and his feet. And they saw his hands nailed to the cross, and they saw him lifted up and suffering in the midday sun and suffering in the darkness. They heard his cries from the cross. They heard him cry out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They heard his cries. They saw their Saviour as he bore their sins. They saw him pierced in his side. And out came blood and water. They saw him taken down and laid in the grave, and the stone rolled over it. They were there. And though they had seen Lazarus in a tomb with a stone rolled over it, and though they had heard Jesus come unto Lazarus and say, come forth, loose him, though they'd seen Lazarus walk and live in newness of life, yet they mourn when Christ dies. Yet they mourn when he's laid in the grave. And yet when he arises, naturally, they cannot believe. John 20, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He was not with them. Jesus appears, risen again from the dead, unto his disciples on the evening of the first day of the week, the third day since he died. He rose on the third day, the first day of the week. And here in the evening, as the day comes to its conclusion, he appears unto his disciples, assembled in that room with the doors shut. And Thomas wasn't there. And the other disciples say unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And then we read, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. 8 days later, after 3 days, Jesus appears unto the disciples. The work of the triune God in salvation was complete. The Father and Son had perfected the covenant. The Son was risen from the dead, and he appears unto his people. But one disciple is kept back. One of the remaining 11 is kept back to see again later. The 12th, Judas, betrayed Christ. There are now 11 of the 12 remaining. The 10 see him on that occasion, and the 11th is kept back, Thomas, until 8 days later. And on the 11th day, since Christ was crucified, here Thomas, the 11th apostle, is brought to see the risen Christ. 8 days after the third day. And Jesus appears unto him again and says, peace be unto you. No matter how far off you may be from these events, no matter how much time may have passed, salvation is wrought the same way. Thomas wasn't there with the others on the evening of the first day of the week, the third day. But he was there 8 days later. And God knew the day when he would bring faith into the heart of his 11th apostle. On the 11th day, the 11th apostle believed and cried out, "My Lord and my God." And many others since have heard this gospel. And many others since have seen their Lord and their Saviour by faith appear unto them and say unto them in the gospel, "Peace be unto you." And no matter that they may be the 10,000th person to believe and believe 10,000 days after the death of Christ, and no matter that you may be years later, even so, if you're Christ's, if you were chosen by the Father and given unto the Son, and if he suffered and died in your stead, then there will come a day when he will come unto you, and though the door of your heart may be shut, he will enter in and stand in the midst and say unto you, "Behold, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And if you're his, you will cry out, "My Lord and my God." Oh, what a picture Thomas is for us. What an encouragement he is. Though he was there on the day when Lazarus rose from the dead, though he was there, though he was willing to die for Christ, though he was shown that, yet his natural heart still doubted. Though he had been shown the need to be one with Christ, to follow him in the way, to go through the grave, through death unto life, though he knew from Christ's own lips that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by him, yet when he heard the report from his fellow disciples, he could not believe. And though you may have heard the gospel many times and heard the report of those that know Christ as their Saviour and heard them many times testify that God sent his Son and his Son was crucified and his Son rose again and his Son bore away the sins of his people, his Son lives and reigns today, though others may testify of their risen Saviour and their faith in him and the joy and the peace they have in knowing their sins forgiven, though you may have heard it all in the gospel and from other believers, yet you may, like Thomas, still in your heart say, "Except I see, I cannot believe." And yet, the encouragement of Thomas is that no matter how hard our hearts, no matter how foolish and unbelieving we may be, no matter how blind we may be, if God in the gospel, in the power of the gospel, comes unto us today, even today, he can come in power by his Spirit and come in the midst and stand in the midst and say, "Believe. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless but believing." And today, even today, if he does that for you, you, like Thomas, will be given that faith that will cry out with a surety, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." Oh, may God have mercy upon us and come unto us in power and stand in the midst, even though the doors may be shut, and say, "Behold, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believe."